All right, we'll say good morning. Let us begin. I want to begin by thanking our sponsors, to thank our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Elul Eden, Faith Wolf and family, for dedicating all the shiurim and drushas this month in memory of their beloved father, grandfather, and great-grandfather, Cyrus Wolf, Shalom Ben Tzvi Hirsch. To thank our Week of Learning sponsors, Alan Wiseman, for dedicating all of the shiurim this week in memory of his beloved wife, Rita Ruth, Rivka Rachel Bas Zachariah, Bernie and Sonia Kozlovsky, for dedicating the shiurim this week in celebration of the birth of their grandson, Aryeh Leib Ben Yosef Mordechai. To thank our Daf Yomi sponsors for today, Yitz and Shira Oppenheim, in memory of Shira's grandfather, Moshe Ben Aaron, Zichron Livracha, and Baruch and Karen Gold, in the Zichus of Refuah Shalema, for Shira Chana Bas Chaya Asna. We thank all of our sponsors, all of the Neshama Shavin Aliyah. Those who need a refuah should have one together with Kol Chole Yisrael. And both with that, let us begin. We really have... Thank you, everyone, for accommodating the little bit of the earlier start today. But we really have an incredible daf, and just I'm overwhelmed by the hashkacha pratis of this, that you're going to see we're going to be dealing with a sugya that's mostly Rosh Hashanah, which is just, again, it's hard to get over the timing on a 7.5-year cycle, that on Erev Rosh Hashanah you could have a sugya of Rosh Hashanah. It's really mind-boggling. It's like almost like a kiss from the Ribbono Shel Olam thanking us for learning his Torah every single day. All right, so today's daf is Mem. We are picking up on Lamed Teslamed Beis 39b. And we are picking up at the following case, Ahu Bar Tavya. So it's pretty much like in the middle of the page over there. Ahu Bar Tavya. So the Gemara says, Ahu Bar Tavya, the Asala Beresh Galusa, the is Tzayid Biyamtev Rishon Shal Galios, the ish Tachit Biyamtev Sheni. So the Gemara talks about an interesting case of a particular deer. So again, just to give you a little bit of context. We had a general machlokis regarding the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. What's the nature of those days? Is it Kiddusha Arichta, one elongated period of Kiddusha, or do we look at the days as two separate periods of Kiddusha, two separate periods of holiness? The Nafkamina, the practical difference between those two approaches, of course, we saw in a number of ways. Whether or not you can make, are you locked into one Erev for both days, or can you make two Erevim for two different days? Can you go ahead and do that conditional tithing from one day to the next? So we ended off yesterday with a statement of Rabbi Yossi, that Rabbi Yossi says that, of course, the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah are considered to be one long Kiddusha, but Rabbi Yossi actually said that by the 2 days of general Yom Tov outside of Eretz Yisrael, Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galus, which Rabbi Yossi was a dramatic statement, because Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galus, the second day of Yom Tov, clearly is a concept, ultimately, again, of Sfeika D'Yoma. But yet Rabbi Yossi seemed to indicate that the 2 days, Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galus, so Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkos, all of that ultimately, again, is treated as one prolonged period of Kiddusha as well. So watch this. Hobar Tavya da Asla Reish Galusa. There was a deer which ran into the Reish. Well, I should say, There was a deer that was brought into the house of the Reish Galusa. Now what happened? Remember, the Reish Galusa is the head of Babylonian Jewry. So the Gemara says, "This Tzayid B'Yamtiv Rishon Shel Galus." It was trapped on the first day of Yamtiv. In other words, of Yamtiv. So again, remember, this is not Rosh Hashanah now. This is whatever it is, fill in the blank, whatever Yamtiv. V'ishtachit B'Yamtiv Sheni. And it was shechted on the second day of Yamtiv. Rav Nachman, Rav Chista, Achlu. So Rav Nachman and Rav Chista, they ate it. So just to understand, what's that play over here? Obviously, trapping an animal on Yamtiv is usser. You're not allowed to trap an animal. If you're not allowed to do something, then presumably that means you're not permitted to get benefit from the act as well. So therefore, again, what happened over here is the animal was trapped on one day, they shechted it on the second day. The Rabbi says, so what happened? Rav Nachman and Rav Chista, they ate it. So they ate it. Why did they eat it? Because they said, Miman of Shach, if yesterday was Chol, then ultimately, again, the trapping was fine. And then you're allowed to shecht on Yom Tiv. And if yesterday was Yom Tiv, then ultimately, again, today is Chol. And of course, then the animal becomes permitted as well. See, either way, the animal is permitted. Rav Sheshis lo achol. Rav Sheshis did not eat it. Amrav Nachman Ma'imav Leiv Rav Sheshes Lo Ochel Bisra. The Tavya. So Rav Nachman said, what are we going to do for Rav Sheshes? What are we going to do about the fact that Rav Sheshes would not eat the meat of the deer? In other words, he was very bothered by it. Amrav Rav Sheshes Vehechi Ochel. Rav Sheshes said, no, how should I eat the meat? After all, the Tani Isi, Va'amri De Isi, Tani Vechin Hayy Rav Yossi Oser Shnei Yamim Tovim Shal Galios. Oh, so we'll say, so ultimately again, comes along Rav Sheshes, and Rav Sheshes says, what am I supposed to do? Rav Yossi says that the 2 days of Yom Tiv are treated just like the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. And just like the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, ultimately, again, a Kedusha Arichta, one prolonged period of Kedusha. Therefore, all Yom Tovim, the 2 days, are one prolonged period of Kedusha. So therefore, again, I can't rely on the fact that today is Chol, yesterday is Kodesh. If the deer was trapped yesterday, it becomes Asr, ultimately, until Yom Tov is over, or until the first days of Yom Tov are over. Amar Rav Amai Kusha. Rav says, what's the problem? Maybe this is what I meant to say. Maybe the statement was that Rabbi Yossi asked the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah in the diaspora. That in the diaspora, where Mamish, they did not know which day was going to be the right day. We saw this yesterday. Remember, in Eretz Yisrael, as much as they may have begun observing the first day a little bit out of doubt, at the end of the day, quite literally, they knew which day was definitely Rosh Hashanah. Outside of Eretz Yisrael, in the diaspora, then there was an issue. So maybe what Rabbi Yossi meant was that the two Yamim Tovim of Rosh Hashanah, 2 days of Rosh Hashanah in the diaspora, are treated like one prolonged day. Ihachi shal golios bagola mi boyle. If that's the case, again, should it say, it shouldn't say Yom Tov Sheni shal golios. We'll say Yom Tov Sheni shal golios is a generic term, which ultimately, again, refers to all 2 day Yamim Tovim. It should have said the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah bagola in the diaspora. I'm Rav Asi my kushya. Maybe this is what it means to say. So maybe what it means to say is as follows. That Rabbi Yossi treated the two days of Yom Tiv, Kishnei Yamim Tovim Shal Rosh Hashanah L'Rabbanan D'Sharu. So maybe what he meant to say is like this. Rabbi Yossi treated the 2 days of Yom Tiv just like the rabbis treated the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. Okay, which means what? We'll say, just like when it comes to the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, the Rabbanim felt that the 2 days were treated as two separate days. It wasn't Kiddusha Richta. So although Rabbi Yossi agreed with them Legabe Rosh Hashanah, maybe he agreed with them when it came to all other Yamim Tovim. Ultimately holding that all other Yamim Tovim were ultimately reckoned as two separate days. Ashkechir of Shesha, so we'll say, so therefore again, bottom line is, like at every Jewish event, some ate of the Hashkacha, some didn't eat of the Hashkacha, right? In this case, again, it wasn't really about the food preparation, but rather it was about Hilchos Yom Tiv, right? So some ate the deer, some didn't eat the deer. Ashkechir of Sheshes, Rabbi Bar Shmuel, so Rav Sheshes found Rabbi Bar Shmuel, and he said, Amrlei, Tani Mar Midi Bikdushas, teach me something regarding Kiddushas Yom Tiv. Amrlei, Tanina, Modi Rabbi Yossi, Bishnei Yomim Tovim Shal Golios. The Rabbi Yossi agrees regarding the two Yamim Tovim of Galus. Also, which means what? That in this version, watch this, so Rav Sheshes is telling Rabba, our version, our Mesorah is that although Rabbi Yossi disagreed when it came to Rosh Hashanah, he agreed that when it came to every other Yom Tiv, the 2 days of Yom Tiv are treated like two separate days. They're not treated like one prolonged period of Kiddusha. So let's just Rav Sheshes, he said, Amarlei, so I was listening to this. So he said to him, do me a favor. If you see anyone else, don't tell them about this teaching, right? Because it contradicts what I said before. So the Maharsha says he was saying it in a joking way. But the idea being he didn't want to be embarrassed that his teaching was wrong. So we'll say, interestingly enough, it sounds like over here that everyone is going to agree that when it comes to the other Yamim Tovim, when we observe 2 days in the diaspora, those 2 days are not reckoned as one prolonged period of Kiddusha, but rather are reckoned as two separate days. And Abba said, we know this, because Halacha Lamaisa, there are many kulas, many leniencies which exist regarding Yom Tov Sheni, the second day of Yom Tov, which don't exist regarding the first day of Yom Tov. So we reckon it as two different days. Rosh Hashanah is the exception to this rule. The way we paski when it comes to Rosh Hashanah is what the Gemara calls Yoma Arichta. It is considered to be one long day. One prolonged period of Kiddusha, which is really fascinating, is the only two-day Yom Tov. First of all, again, you can see this, it's 2 days in Eretz Yisrael also. It is the only two-day Yom Tov that doesn't really have the leniencies of Yom Tov Sheni. It is called one prolonged period of Kiddusha. Which I will say, such an incredible Musar. Because how do we start the year? You see, we'll say, if you think about it, that the hashkafa of a two-day Yom Tov is, you know, some of it's Kaddish, more Kaddish, less Kaddish. What's Rosh Hashanah? A period of protracted, prolonged Kiddusha. The way we start the year is by reminding ourselves that we have the ability to create Kiddusha, and not just momentary Kiddusha, and not just episodic Kiddusha, but that we have the ability to create a prolonged, protracted, two-day period of Kiddusha. And if I could create a two-day period of Kiddusha, imagine what I could do in the year to come. So the Gemara goes right there. The Gemara says, "Ahu bar tavya." Amravashi, l'didi amrli amemer. So Ravashi comes along and he says, "By the way, I think you have the details of the story wrong. Ahu bar tavya, love it's today, it's done." The deer that we were talking about, I will say, it wasn't that it was trapped on the first day, top of mem, ela michus l'tchum osa. The problem was that it came from outside of the tchum. That was the problem. So what ended up happening? So what ended up happening is it was brought by a non-Jew from outside the tchum to the house of the Reish Galusa. So the concern about it was as follows: you are not allowed to benefit on Shabbos or Yom Tov from a melacha done by a non-Jew specifically for you. So those who ate of the deer felt that although the Jew who was the intended beneficiary of the malacha of the non-Jew is not permitted to benefit from the malacha, another Jew can. So whereas the Reish Galusa would not have been permitted to eat from the deer, which was brought by the Nachri from outside of the Tchum, these other Rabbanim who were there were permitted to do so. So the Gemara says, Uman de lo achol, the one who did not go ahead and eat from the deer, Savar called the Asi le Beresh Kalusa, Adaiti de Kulu Rabbanan Asi. He felt that Allah Lamaisa, anyone who comes to the house of the Reish Galusa, right? We'll say anyone ultimately, again, who is a guest of the Reish Galusa, so Adaita de Kulu Rabbanan Asi. I should say differently. Anything that comes to the Reish Galusa wasn't just brought for one person, but it was brought for the leadership of the Jewish people, which included rabbinic leadership. And therefore, this other group of Rabbanim felt that this was like a malacha being done for them, and therefore they chose not to partake of it. I, v'ha ashkechei Rav Sheshes, the Rabbi Bar Shmuel, but Rav Sheshes, listen to this, and Rav Sheshes found Rabbi Bar Shmuel, v'amar lei, lo hayu dvarim me'olam. Ultimately, again, so when Rav Sheshes came along, he said to Rabbi Shmuel that the conversation between Rabbah and Rav Sheshes never took place at all. Okay, so we'll say so again. So just there's a machlokus about the metzias of what actually happened in the story. Okay, Hahu lifta dasil mechuzah. Well, it's an interesting case. There was a turnip that showed up in Mechuzah. It happens, right? Turnip that showed up in Mechuzah. So we'll say, so what's the issue over here? The issue over here was, this was a vegetable that was brought to the city of Mechuzah on Yom Tov. On Yom Tov. So now the issue became, so now you have it, so there's a couple of things happening. Could be either it was brought outside of the Tchum, or just more simply, there's a concern of picking vegetables for Jews on Yom Tov, right? Meaning, I can't have, if my Gentile neighbor comes over to me on Yom Tov and he says, "Oh, I know it's your holiday today, I just picked you some fresh vegetables from my garden. I am not allowed to use that on Yom Tov." I could say thank you and graciously accept it and use it after Yom Tov, but I can't use it on Yom Tov. Why? Because picking up vegetables is a malacha, and halacha l'maaseh, I can't benefit from a malacha done from a non-Jew for me on Yom Tov itself. So listen to this. There was a turnip that showed up in Mechuzah. So the shail is, do I have to be concerned that it was picked today? So the Gemara says, Nafak Rava, Chazid K'misha. Rava went out, he saw the turnip, and he saw that it was a little bit withered. Shara Rava l'mizbin minei. Rava said you could buy the turnip. Why? So the Gemara says, Amar ha vadai me'esmol me'ekra. Because Rabbi will say, since he saw that it was withered, He said, ah, it must have definitely been picked yesterday. In other words, it didn't look so fresh. So because it didn't look as fresh, it must have come yesterday. Because it was picked yesterday, there is no problem ultimately again with purchasing it today. I see the Gemara says, Mayamrit, Michutz l'tchumas, yeah? So maybe being against her, what about the concern that maybe this turnip, okay, maybe it was picked yesterday, but Lamaisa, maybe it was brought from outside of the tchum. And if it was brought from outside of the tchum on Yom Tiv, you're not allowed to get benefit from it. To which the Gemara says, Haba b'shal Yisrael zeh, mutar lechol li'Yisrael achar, v'chol shekein hai da'adaita din nochrim asa. So Rabbi said, in this case, remember again, this was being sold in someone's store. We'll get this in Maseches Be'ah. Rabbi said, there is an arrangement that can be made to purchase items for use on Yom Tov, right? This used to happen all the time, where people would go to merchants and make arrangements to essentially buy on credit. There's a way to structure those transactions, but you could buy on credit. So Rav Sheshi says over here, there's no problem. I'm sorry, Rava said over here, there's no problem, because even if it was brought outside of the tchum, from outside the tchum, remember, this is being sold in the marketplace. This is being sold in the marketplace, which means presumably, even if it was brought outside of the tchum, it was brought for Gentiles. And if it was brought for Gentiles, then of course the Jew is permitted to go ahead and utilize it. So they watch this. So the Gemara says, so therefore, Rava allowed them to go ahead and buy the turnips. Us, so the Gemara says, Kevin the chaz de kamafshi umaisi luhu asalu. Well, so then what happened? So the Jews started buying turnips. Well, what happened when the Jews started buying turnips? So the vegetable vendors started bringing in more produce. Once the vegetable vendors started bringing in more produce, and it was done to benefit the Jewish population, then unfortunately, again, Rava had to assert the practice of purchasing the turnips on Yom Tov. Okay, just an interesting idea. Says the Gemara, Hano Beit Ganuna. Ganuna. The Gazole Asa. I was listening to this. Yom Tov. Yom Tov Sheni. So there were these groups, people say, Beginana, Beginana, Rashi translates over here as Koshrei Kilos Lachasanim. They were canopy makers. And what they would do is when they would create the canopies is they would tie myrtle branches to the canopies. That was the minhag. They would tie myrtle branches. So we'll say, so what happened over here? They went ahead and they cut down myrtle branches. So there were these individuals, these canopy makers, who cut down myrtle branches on Yom Tov Sheni. On the second day of Yom Tov, La'arta Sharlu Ravina La'aruche Be'la'altar. Ravina allowed the Jews to go ahead and literally smell, benefit from the myrtle branches immediately after Yom Tov. So they remember, they cut down the branches on Yom Tov, so of course he can't benefit from the branches on Yom Tov itself, but he allowed the Jewish population to benefit from the branches, to smell the branches immediately after Yom Tov. Amar le Rava bar Tachlifa Ravina, Leiser luhu mar mipnei she'inam b'nei Torah. So we'll say, listen to this. So the interesting part over here is as follows. So in general, we'll say the halacha is that when a halacha is done by a non-Jew on Yom Tov or Shabbos, so you can't benefit, of course, from it on Shabbos. And even after Shabbos or Yom Tov, you generally have to wait b'chdei shi'asu. You have to wait the amount of time that it would take to do the halacha after Shabbos or after Yom Tov. So interestingly enough, So what happened over here? Ravina allowed them to smell the branches immediately after Yom Tov. So Rava Bar Tachlifa said to Ravina, but one second, you should aser it upon them because they're not B'nai Torah. In other words, apparently the people of this locale were not well versed in Torah. They weren't knowledgeable. And therefore there's a concern if you let them use it right after Yom Tov, they'll come to use it on Yom Tov. So the Gemara says, Maskifle Rav Shmaya, Taima Deyem B'nai Torah. Hi B'nai Torah Shari. So it sounds like if they were knowledgeable, there would be no problem with letting them use it right after Yom Tov. What about Vahaba in What about the fact that in general, if malach is done on Shabbos or Yom Tov, halacha lemaisa, you really have to wait the amount of time after Shabbos or Yom Tov to go ahead and benefit from the malacha? To which the Gemara says, Azul shaylu al Rava, amrlu b'ini b'chdei shi'asu. In Echrami, they went to ask Rava. Rava said, you're 100% right. Don't benefit from the myrtle branches right after Yom Tov, but rather wait a little bit, the amount of time that it would have taken them to cut down the branches after Yom Tov. And we'll say, of course, we know that is halacha l'maisa, that if a non-Jew does malacha for you on Shabbos or Yom Tov, or even in general, if a non-Jew does malacha on Shabbos or Yom Tov, not only do I not benefit from it on Shabbos or Yom Tov, but halacha l'maisa, I'm supposed to wait afterwards, b'chdei shiyas. We'll say this, on a very simple level, that's why technically speaking, if you're craving a donut, right, some Dunkin' Donuts, right, after Shabbos, you know, there's a certain amount of time that a person has to wait, because halacha l'maisa, you can't benefit from halacha done on Shabbos or Yom Tov immediately afterwards. Good. So it says the Gemara. We'll say back to this, back to Rosh Hashanah. How Rabbi Dosa Omer ha'overlifnei atov. We'll say, if you remember again, we had the statement, Rabbi Dosa said that when you would daven on Rosh Hashanah, so he would give the following formulation: Hachlitzenu Hashem Elokeinu be'es Yom Rosh Hachodesh Hazeh im Hayom im Lamachar. The formulation he would say is, Hashem, give us strength on this day of Rosh Chodesh. Now remember again, he's calling Rosh Hashanah Rosh Chodesh. If it's and give us strength on this day of Rosh Hashanah Rosh Chodesh, whether it's today or tomorrow. And then on the second day, he would say, Hachlitzinu Hashem Elokeinu, give us strength on this day of Rosh Chodesh, whether it's today or it was yesterday. So said, and the Rabbanim disagreed, right? The Rabbanim said, V'lo hodlu chachamim. So the Gemara said, Amar Rabba, ki avinan bei Rav Huna ibay luhu, ma lahaskir shal Rosh Chodesh b'Rosh Hashanah. Bo say, isn't this incredible? So gives a Rosh Hashanah. So the Gemara asks, Bo say, what is the halacha on Rosh Hashanah? Do you add in a mention of Rosh Chodesh or not? It's a good kasha, right? So again, now I want to go ahead. It's Rosh Hashanah, but it's also Rosh Chodesh. Do I add in a mention of Rosh Chodesh on Rosh Hashanah? Kevan dechalukim u'musaf an arminan. So we'll say, on one hand, there's a different karban musaf, right? There's a karban musaf for Rosh Hashanah. There's a karban musaf for Rosh Chodesh. So maybe because they have different musaf offerings, therefore halacha lemaisa, they should have Rosh Chodesh should get its own mention. O dilma zikaron echad ola lekan ulekan. Or maybe one remembrance works for both. In other words, we'll say everyone knows that Rosh Hashanah is Rosh Chodesh. Right? Everyone knows that calendrical reality. So maybe one mentioning, when you mention Rosh Hashanah, by definition, that includes Rosh Chodesh as well. So Amar Lantini Sua. So he said, we learned this. Rabbi Dosa, Amar Over the Tnei Teva, my love, Lahaskir. So we'll say, remember again. So the Mishnah quoted Rabbi Dosa, and then it says, Lo Hodu Lo Chacham, and the Chacham did not agree with Rabbi Dosa's approach. When they say they didn't agree, what does that mean? My love, Lahaskir, doesn't it mean that I will say, Rabbi Dosa says that you mention Rosh Chodesh? And when it says that Rabbanim did not agree, what does it mean? They disagreed. You don't mention Rosh Chodesh. Lo lahasnos. No. What they didn't like in Rabbi Dosa's tefillah was Rabbi Dosa's conditional phraseology, right? Because Rabbi Dosa has an interesting... Kadosh Baruch Hu, give us strength on this day of Rosh Chodesh, if it's today or if it's tomorrow. Or if it's today or if it was yesterday. The Rabbanim did not like davening with a tenai. They didn't like that phraseology of conditional davening. So the Gemara Tachana and Mistabra midi tani bebraisa v'chin hayu Rabbi Dosa oseh barashay chadashim shalkol hashana. Bosa, in fact, this is how Rabbi Dosa davened in general on Rosh Chodesh. V'lo hodu lo. And the Chachamim did not like. So also, whenever Rabbi Dosa davened, he always davened Rosh Chodesh with this tenai. Right? Takadosh Baruch Hu, thank you for this day, Rosh Chodesh. If it's today, if it's tomorrow. And then the next day, if it's today or if it was yesterday. And the Rabbanim did not agree with that way of davening. See, if you say the Rabbanim disagree with Rabbi Dosa regarding conditional phraseology, mishum hachi lahodalo Eli Amrit Lahaskir. If you want to say the argument Rabbi Dosa towards Vonat, you should mention Rosh Chodesh. That can't be Amay Lahodalo. The Elamay Lahasnos. Rather, you see again the Machlokis Rabbi Dosa and the Rabbanan Rabosai is not really about whether or not to mention Rosh Chodesh or Rosh Hashanah. That's not the Machlokis. They're not actually discussing that. Their Machlokis is, can you employ a conditional phraseology in your davening? Rabbi Dosa says yes, the Rabbanan say no. So just as an aside, why does this machlokas have to be brought down in two contexts? Because now it's quoted twice. Our Mishnah is regarding Rosh Hashanah, and then the Braisa speaks about general Rosh Chodesh. Why do you have to record the machlokas twice? To which the Gemara says, I'll tell you why you need it, then I'll tell you why. Tzicha. In Rosh Hashanah, Because if we would have just said machlokas by Rosh Hashanah, I would have said in that case that Rabbanan don't want to employ a conditional phraseology. Why? Because I will say, what's going to happen? Can you imagine if people daven with this conditional phraseology? Go ahead and give us strength on this day of Rosh Hashanah, if it's today or if it's tomorrow. So also, you know how the human mind works. Right? So the moment that shul gets a little bit long or something gets a little bit annoying is the moment I check out because, hey, maybe it's not really Rosh Hashanah. Right? So therefore, Chazal understood you are fundamentally going to lead to the erosion of the sanctity of the day if you institutionalize this date ambiguity. So therefore, again, Chazal said, take it out from Rosh Hashanah. However, maybe by Stam Rosh Chodesh, where there's not the concern of Zilzul, maybe they would agree with Rabbi Dosa. And if it were just said by Rosh Chodesh, I would have said Rosh Chodesh is where Rabbi Dosa says that you employ conditional phraseology. But when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, maybe he agrees with the Rabbanan that you shouldn't employ conditional phraseology. Therefore, Tzvicha. Therefore, I need both. Good. Neisvei. Rosei, this is incredible. Rosh Hashanah Shechalios B'Shabbos. So he'll say, not only is this a Rosh Hashanah Sugya, but it's Mamash Rosh Hashanah like we have it this year. It is mind-blowing. Rosh Hashanah Shechalios B'Shabbos. B'Shamay Omrim Mispalal Eser U'Beisila Omrim Mispalal Teisha. B'Shamay says, there are 10 brachas. Now, let's remember again, on Stam Shmona Esrei of Rosh Hashanah, he's talking about over here, Musaf, right? So there are 9 brachas. Right, there's the three beginning brachos, the three end brachos, and then Malchias, Zichronos, and Shofros. So according to Beis Shammai, there are 10 brachos. Why is there a 10th bracha? Because ultimately, again, Beis Shammai holds that Shabbos gets its own bracha. Beis Hillel says, no, there are only 9 brachos, because he holds Shabbos is actually not, Shabbos doesn't get its own bracha, but rather Shabbos insertions are inserted in the already existing brachas. So the Gemara says, "V'im Isa." Now it's really true. If it's true according to Rabbi Dosa that you go ahead and you also insert a separate bracha for Rosh Chodesh, Beis Shammai Acharis Remi Boyalei. The Rabbis say ultimately again, if Rosh Chodesh is mentioned on his own, then Beis Shammai should 11 brachas. In other words, if Shabbos is going to get its own mention, then Rosh Chodesh should as well. So you should have the 9 regular brachas of a regular Hashanah Musaf, then the 10th for Shabbos and the 11th for Rosh Chodesh. So the Gemara says, "Amad Beis." The Rabbis say, "Amar Rabbi Zera Shani Rosh Chodesh." No, Rosh Chodesh is a little bit different. Why? Shemitoch shekolo l'shachris v'arvis kolo nami b'musafin. So I will say, since again the mentioning of Rosh Chodesh is already absorbed into the Shemona Esrei of Shachris and Arvis, and Rashi points out ultimately again by Mincha as well, therefore by Musaf it doesn't get its own bracha. So also we're going to see what this means. What this means is we have a mechanism for Rosh Chodesh already, which is Yalev Yavon, which doesn't require an additional bracha. So therefore by Musaf, Rosh Chodesh won't generate its own additional bracha as well. So the Gemara says, so ultimately again, does Beis Shammai subscribe to this idea of a bracha being of something being absorbed into another bracha? The Hatanya, we learned, Rosh Chodesh Shechalios B'Shabbos, when Rosh Chodesh falls out on Shabbos, Beis Shammai Omrim, Mispalo Shmona. Beis Shammai says that you daven 8 brachas. So must remember again, a regular Shabbos Shmona Esrei is 7 brachas, right? 3 in the beginning, 3 in the end, and then 1 Shabbos bracha in the middle. Beis Shammai holds the one as Rosh Chodesh, 8 brachas, which indicates to us what? That Rosh Chodesh is going to get its own bracha. And Beis Hillel says, no, Rosh Chodesh does not get its own bracha. Rather, Rosh Chodesh will just simply get a mention. We'll get a mention in the Shabbos Shmona Esrei Kasha. Indeed, this is a Kasha on Beis Shammai. Good. The Kola Atzmo Tanahi. Well, see, interestingly enough, the ability to absorb, I'll call it not one bracha, but one day into another. We'll say, you hear what the fundamental machlokes is. The fundamental machlokes, we'll say, is that halacha lemaisa, so when I have a separate day, does a separate day warrant its own bracha? Or can we say that sometimes if the separate day is a little bit of a secondary nature, it could be absorbed into a primary bracha? That's kolo. The kolo, so the Gemara says, the kolo atzmo tanaihi. The reality, the ability to absorb, so to speak, one day into another, is a machlokes tanoim. Disanyo, here we go. Shabbos shechalios b'rosh chodesh, or b'cholo shamoed. So we'll say, listen to this. If you have Rosh Chodesh that falls out on Shabbos, or Shabbos chalamoed, Shachris va'arvis u'mincha mispalo kedarko sheva. So Arvis, Shachris, and Mincha, you daven a regular Shmona Esrei, 7 brachas, va'omer me'ein hama'ora ba'avoda. And I'll say, you go ahead and you add in a Rosh Chodesh insertion, or for that matter, a Yalev Yavo for Yamtiv insertion in Avoda. The Rabbis say in this version, it's not really a Yalev Yavo, it's more like an Alanisim type of additional paragraph, because they're including it in Modim. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Bahoda. I'm sorry, Ba'avoda is Ritzeh, excuse me. That's Yalev Yavo. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Bahoda. Rabbi Eliezer says, no, you're adding something additional in Modim, like an Alanisim type of thing. V'imlo Omar, and if you did not go ahead and mention this additional paragraph, Machzirin also, your person has to repeat Shmor Esrei. So both say, so according to this first opinion, when you have Shabbos Rosh Chodesh or Shabbos Chol HaMoed, you don't have an additional bracha for Rosh Chodesh, you just have an additional section. So according to one opinion, that additional section is in Ritzeh, like we have it with Yalev Yavo, or that additional section is in Modim, which apparently was an opinion that make it more like an Alanisim. So the Gemara says, however, but Musafin, what about by Musaf? First wide line of say Mem Amud Beis, Ube Musafin, Bishal Shabbos, excuse me, Maschil Bishal Shabbos, Umisayim Bishal Shabbos, Vomer Kidusha Sayom Be'emza. By Musaf, Abba say you begin with Shabbos, you end with Shabbos, and you recite Kiddushas Hayom in the middle. Whenever you have a Shmona, you have seven brachos, which is Shabbos. Maschil b'shal Shabbos, u'misayim b'shal Shabbos, v'omer Kiddushas Hayom be'emtza. You go ahead and you begin with Shabbos, you end with Shabbos, and ultimately, again, put your insertion for Kiddushas Hayom in the middle. So fine, we'll say, so again, so what you begin to see is, now obviously, we know how this works, right? So we know that, again, we know how Shabbos Shmoneh Esrei works, how Rosh Chodesh works. So Rosh Chodesh doesn't get its own bracha on Shabbos, it just gets a Yalev Yavo, Shabbos Chol HaMoed, again, by Musaf. Anyway, you're saying a Shalosh Regalim Tefillah, so on and so forth. So Gemara says, by the way, my Havi Allah. We'll say, let's come full circle here. Remember, let's get back to Rosh Hashanah. What happened on Rosh Hashanah? So if you remember again, the Gemara, we started with the question. What was the question? Do you mention Rosh Chodesh on Rosh Hashanah or not? That is the fundamental question. Do you mention Rosh Chodesh on Rosh Hashanah? To which the Gemara says, Amrat Chista, Zikaron Echad Ola Lekan Olekan. One remembrance works for both. And Rosh Hashanah says, by definition, the mentioning of Rosh Hashanah, by definition, includes Rosh Chodesh. Right? Everyone knows Rosh Hashanah is the beginning of the month, so by definition, it includes Rosh Chodesh. V'chein Amar Rabba, Zikaron Echad Olo L'Kan L'Kan. Rabba also said, one remembrance works for both. And Rabba said that, of course, is halacha l'maisa. We make no separate mention of Rosh Chodesh on Rosh Hashanah, for the mentioning of Rosh Hashanah covers both. V'amar Rabba, Kiavina Beraf Huna Ibailon, we'll say this is an incredible sugyo. Mahulomar Zman Birashana Yom Kippurim. We'll say, get ready for this. Do we say Shachyanu on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur? So on one hand, Kevan de Mizman Lizman Osi Aminon. So we'll say, in general, what's the criteria for Shachyanu? Well, there's really two different criteria. You could say Shachyanu because of a moment of incredible joy, incredible simcha, or you can also say Shachyanu on any event which occurs infrequently. So therefore, generally, we say Shachyanu on any event that occurs infrequently. Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur only occur once a year. Kevan de mizman lizman osi aminan. Old yama, kevan de lo ikru regalim lo aminan. We'll see, on the other hand, maybe, since Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur are not regalim, right? They're not regalim. They're not the pilgrimage yamim tovim. Therefore, halacha l'maisa, we don't say Shachyanu. So the Gemara says, "L'hava biyade." So ultimately, again, he didn't know the answer. Ki asoi bei Rabbi Yehuda, when he came to the yeshiva of Rabbi Yehuda, Amar ano akra charatonami aminazman. So again, Rabbi Yehuda said, "I don't understand. Of course, you say Shachyanu. I say Shachyanu even on a new gourd." Or as well, what Rabbi Yehuda was saying is, "I say Shachyanu even on a fruit that are on a vegetable that I haven't had in a long time." So if you're going to say Shachyanu on a fruit, a vegetable you haven't had for a long time, certainly you can say it on a yomtiv that occurs once a year. Someone says, "Amalei, no. Rishus lo kamibayli, ki kamibayli chova." I'm not asking, can you say a Shachyanu? My shaila is different. Is there an obligatory Shachyanu for the yomtiv of Rosh Hashanah? And he's asking Yom Kippur also. We'll say, but that's the shailus. This is very interesting. I can't. We know that Shachyanu is a bracha that could be said because a person, quote unquote, chooses. Meaning, I go and I buy a new suit. I don't have to buy a new suit. I choose to buy a new suit. When I buy a new suit, of course, I can say a Shachyanu. So we're not asking, can you say a Shachyanu? I'm asking, Do I have to say a Shechi Anu when the Yom Tov of Rosh Hashanah comes? And I will say, understand, there's a much deeper question to this as well. There's a fundamental underpinning to this. Actually, well, I'll tell you in just a second. So the Gemara says, Kemal Lechav, Amalei, Rav Shmuel Dermei Tarvayu, Eino Omer Zman Elu B'Shol Shregalim. So we'll say, Rav Shmuel said, we'll only say Shechi Anu when? Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkis, the Regalim. No Shechi Anu Rashani Yom Kippur. Mesvei, Tain chelik l'shiva v'gam l'shmona. As well as the Gemara quotes the pasuk away from Koheles, give a portion of the seven and give a portion of the eight. What does that mean? Rabbi Eliezer omer shiva elo zayin me breishis. So Rabbi Eliezer says seven. What does it mean? Give a portion of the seven. That refers to the 7 days of creation. So we'll say, what do we do with the 7 days of creation? I give one portion of the seven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What's the one portion of the seven? That's a reference to Shabbos. Reference to Shabbos. So it's Tein Chelek L'Shiva, give one portion of the seven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's Shabbos. What about Shmona? Eight, Elu Yimei Mila. Elu Chasmei Mila. Both say this refers to Bris Mila. Because what happens on the eighth day, Bris Mila, I give a portion of myself, or a portion of myself is given to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Shiva, Elu Yimei Pesach. Rabbi Yeshua says, no, the seven, these refers to the 7 days of Pesach. Shmona, Elu Shmona Yimei HaChag. This refers to the 8 days of Sukkis. And we'll say this is a reference to the idea. Well, let's see. Gushu Omer Vigam. And when it says, Tein Chelik L'Shiva Vigam, we'll say Gam is always a ribui. Gam comes to include something else. What does Gam come to include? So the Gemara says, Gushu Omer Vigam, the Rabos Atzeres, the Rosh Hashanah, the Yom Kippurim. It comes to include, again, Shemini Atzeres, which is Yom Tov Bifnei Atzmo, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Well, so what does it mean it comes to include? Include for what? My love, Lizman, does it not come to include, ultimately, again, that I go ahead and I say, Shechianu, lo lebracha. No, rather, again, it means for a bracha. Well, so what does it mean for a bracha? Rashi says, V'mevarchim kol yom ha-mekadish Yisrael v'azmanim. That ultimately, again, we make a bracha on these Yomim Tovim by Kiddush, Mekadesh Yisrael v'azmanim. But it's no raya that you say Shemona Esrei. Hachanami Mestavra. This seems to make sense. About said that when these days are included, they're not included for Shachyanu, but they're included for Kiddush. The Yisakadait Chal Zman, because if you would say that it's coming to include for Shachyanu, Kol Zman Kol Shiva Mi'ika, we'll say no one. What does that mean? You say. If we think we're talking about Shechianu, do you say Shechianu all 7 days of Pesach, all 8 days of Sukkis? Halokashia. That's not a question. Diila mevarich ha'itna mevarich lemachar. We'll say no, because the interesting part by Shechianu is whenever a Yom Tov has a din of Shechianu, if for some reason you don't recite Shechianu on the first night, you could go ahead and recite Shechianu any time over the course of the Yom Tov. Mika makom ba'inan kos. But still, even though you could recite Shechianu over the course of the Yom Tov, don't you need a glass of wine in order to recite Shechianu? Leim say le Rav Nachman. It supports Rav Nachman. Amar Rav Nachman, Zman Omro Afilu B'Shuk. Now, I will say, it's not true. Rav Nachman holds that when it comes to the obligation to say Shechianu on Yom Tov, although we ideally recite it as part of Kiddush, if you don't have a glass of wine or you didn't do it by Kiddush, Halacha l'maisa, you could even recite it in the marketplace. Halokashia te'ikla lekos. Okay, but the truth is, you can just easily set it up as a case where you have a glass of wine. Fine. Hatinach atzeres for Rosh Hashanah. So we'll say, see, now what you're telling me is that ultimately, again, you make a bracha, ultimately, again, over a kos. So I understand how that works on Shmini Atzeres and Rosh Hashanah. Yom HaKippurim Heichi Avid. How exactly is it that halacha lemaisa you are making a bracha over a kos on Yom Kippur? Im varich alei. So I'll say if you want to say that you're making if varich alei v'shasi lei, if you make a bracha over the kos and you drink it, kevan da amar lezman. Once you say Shechianu on Yom Kippur, then what? Once you say Shechianu, you have effectively accepted the Yom Tov. Once you've accepted the Yom Tov, what? Then you're not allowed to drink. Because obviously there was a situation, ultimately, again, where one time Rashi points out, what happened over here is, it was a cloudy day, and they mistakenly accepted Shabbos. But once they accepted Shabbos, so ultimately, again, Rav Yirmiya bar Abba said to Rav, did you separate from doing malacha? So you see over here that once you have a Kabbalah, malacha becomes asur on Shabbos. Similarly, if you were to recite Shechianu on a cup of wine by Yom Kippur, Abba said, what would happen? By definition, you go ahead and you accept Yom Kippur. If you accept Yom Kippur, then what? You can't drink the glass of wine. Livro chalei velanche. So if you say, make the bracha of Shechianu on the glass of wine and then just put it down. Hamavarech tzarech shiitom. Well, 1 second, the one who makes the bracha is supposed to drink the wine. Leisvei liyinuka. give the wine to a child to drink. Less hilchasa kirav acha. We don't like that approach. Why? Dilma asi lemisrach. Because we'll say we're concerned that if you accustom the child to drinking on Yom Kippur, what's going to happen? Even when he gets older, he's going to continue to do so. Because Rabbi Sai, the behaviors that are ingrained in us as children often carry over into our adult lives as well. So my havi Allah. So we'll say, so bottom line, what is the halacha? What is the halacha? Do we recite Shech Yonu or not? Shaj, the Gemara says, Shajrua Rabbanon Rav Yemar, Saba Kamei, Rav Chisto, Amal, Yom Adrei Shas. So let's listen to this. So let's say, so this is the Shaila. Do I recite, this is important, we got to finish the Sukkah before tonight. Do we recite Shech Yonu on Rosh Hashanah or not? So the Gemara says, watch this quickly. So the Gemara says, Shajrua Rabbanon Rav Yemar, Saba Kamei, Rav Chisto, Amal, Yom Adrei Shas. So the Rabbanon sent, they sent Rav Yemar Bar Saba to the house of Rav Chista. They said, go to Rav Chista's house tonight for the first night Rosh Hashanah. Amrulei zil chazi hechi avid uvda. Go see what Rav Chista does. Whatever Rav Chista does is the halacha. Come and report back to us. Ta'imalon. Ki chazi yeshabos Rav Chista saw Rav Yemar at his house. Now Rav Yemar wasn't invited. Right? So he sees Rav Yemar at his house and he says, oh, this is like someone who picks up a moist piece of wood, obviously needs its place. People say a moist piece of wood is not usable for firewood. So because it's not movable for firewood, the only reason you pick it up is because you want the space that it occupies. So that was another way of saying, Rav Yemar, I see that you're here is not because of my wife's good cooking. Right? It's not because of the divrei Torah I'm going to share at the table. I see that you're here to observe something. Aisulei kasa dechamra, kadish va'amar zman. Rav Chista made Kiddush, he picked up his glass, Rosh Hashanah night, picked up his glass, and he recited Shech Yonu v'kimanu v'gyonu l'azman azaleh hilchasa, Omer Zman. But Rosh Hashanah v'Yom Kippur, we'll say the halach is halach al-maisa, we recite Shech Yonu on Rosh Hashanah and on Yom Kippur, v'hilchasa zman omro afil b'shuk. And the halach is we recite Shech Yonu even in the marketplace. So we'll say the ideal is you recite it as part of Kiddush, but if you do not recite it as part of Kiddush, you go ahead and recite it even in the marketplace. So we'll say just that is the halach al-maisa, which is incredible halach al-maisa to end off right before Rosh Hashanah, but also understand the hashkaf al-maisa. See, I'll say the Gemara discusses the idea that why don't we say halal on Rosh Hashanah? So the Gemara says, "Sifrei Chayim u'Meisim Psuchim Lefanav." We're gonna literally the books of life and death are open, and we're gonna say hello. So we'll say, so you would think from that, based on that, that Lemaisa then Rosh Hashanah is an overwhelming and ominous day. Comes on the Gemara says, what do we say on Rosh Hashanah? Shechianu v'kiyemanu v'higyanu lazmanadeh. Yes, is there much being decided on this day? Absolutely. Is there a sense of overwhelming importance? Absolutely. But never mistake Sifrei Chayim u'Meisim Psuchim Lefanav for a day of dread, for a day of chas v'shalom. Shechianu v'kiyemanu v'higyanu lazmanadeh. Because one thing is incredible. If I'm being judged by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that means I'm close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If the Rebbe Shlomo is looking at my life and examining my deeds and looking at me, that means he's attentive and paying attention to me. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is paying attention to me, that means I'm close to him. And if I'm close to him, there is no greater simcha. Ein simcha gidola mizu. For a simcha of closeness, for a simcha of dveikus, for a simcha of connection, over that you say, Shechianu v'kiyemanu v'higyanu lazman hazeh. Shkach Rabosai. I'll send out the schedule for Mirz Hashem for Yom Tov. We'll be learning in the afternoon between Mincha Ma'ariv. If anyone wants, the sheets for Slichas are up here because we're going to skip around a little bit. We'll announce it as well. Gavi, maybe you'll announce it. Let me skip. Perfect.